Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. We'll be joined at 4:20 by the voice of the Saints right here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Haas will join us, give us some of his thoughts and what he has seen at training camp over the last couple of days. At 4:40 this afternoon, we'll have the first-year head coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tommy Ryback. Tommy will join us to talk about the Colonels, and they started off pretty quick, Charlie, week zero, as they call it today. And they will be one of the first games on television, as the Colonels open up the season and open up their practices, in the next couple of days. And at 5:20, Renee Nato from Crescent City Sports, will give us his thoughts on Saints practices. Also talk a little bit of, about Tulane Green Wave and LSU Tigers. So we'll have all that set up for you, Charlie. Kind of set it up that we saw Tyler Shuck take the first team reps today, and everybody will get an opportunity. Jay Kaner looks as though it'll be his spot tomorrow to run with the first team, and we saw yesterday with Spencer Rattler. And Charlie, the funny thing about it is I was watching an interview with Jaden Daniels, and they were asking Jaden about what did he work the most on in the offseason? And he was like, man, I went back and looked at that film and kind of ran through my mind, what was I thinking then? And I worked so much on my footwork and my body balance to throw the ball on balance to get it out better. And he said, secondly, my timing and the ball placement. And he said that was the big difference between playing at Arizona State and at LSU and then playing in the NFL, that vein to throw the ball through was real tight. And he said, you know, a couple of times I went to throw it, and then I was hesitant, and I knew I should have let it loose, and I didn't. And he said that was where a lot of my bad throws came in. I just heard Tyler Shuck say almost the exact same thing.
Right.
He almost repeated exactly. He didn't go into the stuff about the footwork, but he talked about the timing and the ball placement, and that window to get the ball downfield to a receiver is so much tighter in the NFL than what it is in college football.
Yeah, I mean, you heard it from Shuck, and we'll hear more audio from him as well as Rattler and even Jay Kaner. All three of them spoke today in post-practice press conference sessions, Mike. So really looking forward to getting all that. Steve chopped it all up for us. But, yeah, just listening to Tyler Shuck, he said that he's improving every single day. But the number one thing, kind of like you mentioned, is working on that timing and getting it down, because at the NFL level, it's so much more tight.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes what you see is a little bit of a mirage. You think it's man coverage, and when they line up, and then all of a sudden they go into a zone concept. And so you got to get used to them trying to fool you a little bit. And, man, you think about how much better can Jaden Daniels get? And yet we saw, you know, with C.J. Stroud, had a great rookie season. And, man, they couldn't protect him last year, Charlie. Man, did he get beat up. And he sort of, not say really dropped down, but he wasn't as maybe effective because of the fact he had people right there in his face every time he threw the football. And so let's see if the Texans can clear that up. You talk about a newfangled offensive line in Houston. They got it. Man, they cleared the deck, so to speak. And so we'll see what happens there. And can they protect Jaden Daniels a little bit better? That Jaden made that offensive line look better. Sometimes an offensive line can make a quarterback look better. But I thought because of his foot speed and because of his mobility, he scared the bejesus out of you defensively. Because you were afraid he was going to take off and run. And yet, when you think about Jaden, and he's always told me this, I'm a pocket passer at heart. That's where I'm going to do the biggest damage, is throwing the ball from the pocket. And so he realizes the footwork, the body balance, the placement skills, the timing, all that's got to go down for him to improve his overall game. We saw it last year, too, as the season went along with Drake May with the Patriots. I thought he was lousy early in the year. Man, you know, he was drifting into pressure. He was throwing the football on the run and actually running into the teeth of pressure. After he got comfortable in throwing the ball better from the pocket, you saw a different Drake May at the end of the year, and I thought he improved dramatically from the early on in the season.
Mike, Steve and I interviewed David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, back on Monday, and we asked him about that offensive line because Sam Cosmi suffered that torn ACL in the playoffs, one of their best offensive linemen from the interior of the guard. But then they really focused on it this offseason, Washington did, bringing in Laremy Tunsil in that big blockbuster trade, but then also addressing in the first round, drafting Josh Connerly, the offensive tackle out of Oregon. So they're obviously, they looked at what happened in Houston and the kind of, everyone said that he had a sophomore slump, that being C.J. Stroud. But as you mentioned, their offensive line was just a disaster. So I think they saw what happened there in Houston, and they said, that's not happening in Washington. We're going to make sure that Jaden Daniels has the offensive line in front of him to be able to operate. And instead of taking a step back, take a step forward. And he was already unbelievable in his rookie campaign. So, you know, the sky's the limit for that kid.
Yeah, he's, if he can stay healthy, Charlie, he's really something special. And, you know, I thought that way about Joe Burrow. And, man, Cincinnati's had a hard time keeping him upright. But, boy, when they have, man, they can hit you a lot of different ways. I know they met with Noah Fant, the free agent tight end. We talked about Noah yesterday, former first-round pick, 10th overall pick in the draft by the Denver Broncos, who got traded in the Russell Wilson deal. And then Seattle released him right before the start of training camp sessions with them. And funny, the Bengals brought him in, and Gesicki last year really had a good season. Maybe his second best season in the National Football League with the Cincinnati Bengals. Big story today, though, certainly other than the Saints practices, is Hulk Hogan, 71 years old, passed away, cardiac arrest in Florida. And Charlie, this is a little bit before your time, so I'll say this. You know, kind of growing up and watching wrestling, my dad hated it. He didn't like my brother and I to watch the wrestling. But my grandpa, to tell you, man, he loved to watch the wrestling all the time. And he knew that sort of like I knew the names in the football world. And he could tell you all about the guys. And I think about growing up, and it was all territorial back then. You had your little spot. And, you know, we lived in the Mid-South region. Cowboy Bill Watts, former wrestler, and he wrestled even back then when he was actually running the company. He ran this particular region, and we think about some of the names that came out of that region that went on, the Freebirds, Michael Hayes, and Terry Gordy, the Junkyard Dog, Ernie Ladd. I mean, you can kind of go on and on, Magnum TA, those guys. That, you know, it became different. And then, you know, in the Texas region, the Von Erichs, they did a movie about the Claw, about the Von Erich family. And Vince McMahon took over for his dad, and he wanted this to be global. And in the 80s, that's when, man, you think about cable really hit big all across the United States and across the world. And he had the network, and he needed a star. And he got it in Hulk Hogan. And, man, he was as big a star back then as anybody in the sports world. When you think about the 80s and the 90s, what he did, it was WWF back then and became WWE. And he became not only a wrestling star, but movies, television. He had his own you know, show on a Saturday morning, you know, the comic book stuff for the kids. You couldn't go to a store that was stuff, Hulk Hogan dolls and everything else, all this stuff out there. And it really grew. And then he got more into the television and movie world. And then he left WWE and he went to WCW. Ted Turner had sunk a lot of money into it, and he turned heel. It didn't take him long once he was there, turned heel along with Kevin Nash and the group there for the NWO. And, man, he had a run there and then went back to WWE for a stint, too. But the huge impact he had in our world of sports, man, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That's not normally where you would see a pro wrestler. And it became really sports entertainment. And Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan knew that better than anybody. There were a lot better wrestlers than, you know, Hulk Hogan from a wrestling standpoint. But, boy, he knew how to sell the product. And like everybody else, in life. Man, you flawed. Sometimes you do and say things that get you in trouble. And, you know, and he sort of turned his life around late and, you know, got closer to God, so to speak. But today, passing away at 71. But his impact. And I think for a lot of people, it really hurts them because, you know, you grew up watching that guy and you see your own mortality kind of shifting away, too. But, man, for 71 years old, a lot of these wrestlers don't get to 71. I heard Hogan say one time, 365 days a year, he was either wrestling or on the road 335 of those 365. That's a lot of the road, and that's a lot of wear and tear and on the body. And, man, he was a big impact guy in the sports world. And all you got to do is turn on television. They lead off the national news with the death of Hulk Hogan. How many sports stars get that sort of recognition? So, man, big part of growing up watching Hogan and what he did for the sports world, the sports entertainment world. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL and with Mike Hawes, Voice of the Saints. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, Voice of the New Orleans Saints, Mike Hawes. Michael, how are you today, buddy?
I am good, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. Mike, Charlie and I were talking about this in the first section that we did in our number one about I watched Jaden Daniels in an interview, and he talked about his improvement from year one to year two, and he brought up that and watching the film, his footwork, he said, you know, sometimes he was throwing the ball a little bit off balance. He needed to work on his timing and his ball placement skills. And he was talking about the degree of, you know, you're trying to get the ball in a tight window. And basically, he was like, a couple times I went to throw it, and then I kind of recoiled back, and I should have made the throw. And when I made the throw, it got either picked off or knocked down. He said that was probably the big mistakes he made in year one. I just heard Tyler Shuck say almost the exact same thing. And so that's why early in training camp, everybody, well, tell me how Shuck looks or how Rattler looks. Well, this is still really early in the process when you watch him play. And Rattler should have the advantage because he has been through a training camp before. And Jake Haner's been through a training camp before. So from what you've seen, it doesn't surprise me if you were to grade right now that Rattler would have the advantage because he has had a training camp and has had some NFL games under his belt.
Of course. I mean, I would agree. And I think if they were all on the show, they would probably agree. And you see it sometimes with Tyler. Let's be clear. We've seen two practices. Today was an hour, right? You know how you know you expect something is coming, which is going to be this daily grade of the quarterbacks, but you're still kind of surprised by it? I mean, it's here, but I agree with you. Spencer is working on certain things for year two that he needed to work on. Every ball doesn't have to be a bullet, right? You don't have to throw it so hard every pass. It's touch passes. It's ball placement. It's exactly what Jaden said. And I think if we were to talk to Tyler Shuck in the future, we'd go first instinct. It's the arm movement, the pop, the fake, you know, that he doesn't throw it. Then the hesitation that does throw it in two practices that he would say, that's something he's got to work on. It's that you think you're going to do it and you kind of arm fake it, but you don't. And, you know, I think that's the classic thing that Jaden had. And I think we're seeing that early on with Tyler Shuck. Still, ton of ability, ton of movement in the pocket. But, yeah, who you would expect that Spencer is working on NFL game-specific stuff, right? He gets to go back and look at Tampa, who he played twice, NFL Washington, who he played in the second half, and adjust accordingly to the NFL game. Tyler is just adjusting to the NFL shell game and, you know, OTAs and minicamp. That'll change a little bit on Monday with pads. That'll really change in Los Angeles against the Chargers. But it's going to be a back and forth, you know, You know, that's what I expected. I was walking out of the camp today after the – let's put it this way. These four quarterbacks, they can hold talk shows. They ain't got no problem talking. Talking is not a problem. These guys are well-spoken. They're nice. They're genuine. They got that part. But I was talking with a fellow reporter. I'm like, you know what? If we get to the Charger game and there is separation between these quarterbacks, that's kind of problematic because you're just playing against each other. 7-on-7, 11-on-11, you really shouldn't have a ton of separation between any of these four quarterbacks. It should be pretty close. If you've got separation, to me, that might be a little bit of a problem. Unless one guy's just extraordinary, I feel like these preseason games, man, that is going to – I mean, Kellen Moore will tell you and Mickey will tell you that it is the accumulation. It is the book, but those games – because there's no joint practices, those games are going to really tell a lot because you got to play those guys with some of your first teamers, right? They got to play with your first team line, each of them. Or what kind of evaluation is it? So that's the interesting part about it.
Mike, you and I have done this more than a couple years, and I think the early days of training camp is all about what the hell you know. Because I can't put you out in a real game if you don't mentally know what you have to do from play to play. And, okay, once you get the pads on, okay, it lifts up a bit. Somebody can call about the right tackle or the defensive nose guard or the inside linebacker. Okay, you can't see that in shells. You can't distinguish all that. And really you can't distinguish it even in practice to a certain extent. The game, the preseason games, I think are still important. But I think those early practice sessions is all about the mental part of the game, knowing what we've taught you over the last few months, if it's been OTAs or the training camp sessions that we have here or the film sessions. I want to know what you know and translate that from a film room out into a football field.
It's exactly what Deuce said this afternoon. It's about recall. Right, we left you from minicamp. What's your recall like? Right, how did you digest and take in what we told you? Because there's no off season. It's all the way straight through. What is your recall and how do you react? How do you react to the bad play? Because with each practice, and we get to the pads, and Jake Haner talked about this. You know, when you put the pads on, now it's about the pocket. Right, you have to feel where's my guy, where's my protection. I'm feeling a defensive end. What's my timing like? And I think, lastly, and I think not most importantly to Kellen, but this is a man who believes a lot in team building. You want to have good team building? Well, I need to know that my running back, I can trust my running back to block that Mike. I need to know that my wide receiver is doing his route like he's supposed to be doing. I need to know that my offensive line knows what they're doing, because without all of that trust, somebody's getting their butt on the ground. So that's the third part of it. But the recall is first. What do you recall from what we have already given you? We ain't got time. They're installing now with all the quarterbacks, but what do you recall?
You know, Mike, one of those position groups that we were kind of intrigued by was the wide receiver room, because Bobby was saying yesterday how much Kellen Moore loves using the tight end position, and they went out and got and they paid Juwan Johnson. So if he stays healthy, he could have a big year. But what about the wide receivers? Because Chris Olave, it's a really big year for him contract wise. Then also Rashid Shaheed, and then you went out and got Brandon Cooks. So I just wanted to ask you how they've kind of looked so far at practice, in your opinion. And then if anyone has really kind of stood out, you can't judge line play until they put the pads on, but you can still talk about the receivers and DBs and everything like that.
If they were to play today, Cooks, Olave, and Shaheed in a three wide out, I think Olave, he looks bigger, he looks stronger, right? He looks good. He caught a big pass across the middle yesterday, just over the fingertips of DeMario and right in front of Eric Reed. And then Shaheed caught a pass today over on the sideline, but it's like a cat move. Like, I mean, he just caught it and his feet went from one position to another. I mean, he can do things that, most people can't. And quite frankly, I know he's been around a while, but Brandon Cooks, he still got it. And he's a guy you got to respect with that kind of speed. I think they're really – and then now you're talking about Cedric Wilson, Donovan Peoples, Mason Tipton, Bub Means. Can he – he got talked about today about that second-year jump. Can he make that second-year jump because he was banged up last year to really be a factor? He's bigger, probably the biggest at 6'2", 215 of this class, right around there with Kevin Austin. You know, he's got to be out there, but, you know, you want that receiver who will catch the contested passes, right? Do those kind of things. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, that's I didn't even talk about everybody. Pettis still, Dixon, Tyree. So it's a big room, right, with experience, speed, size. But I feel like Cooks, Olave, and Shaheed, staying healthy is the key. Because right now, for Spencer Rattler, he didn't throw the ball a lot to Olave or Shaheed. You know, that didn't happen last year. Or Means, right? Taysom, Alvin. it's kind of new for him. But it's a strong wide receiver room. And you mentioned the tight ends. I mean, I think that's an area, and Bobby, I'm sure, has already said it, that you better make sure that Juwan Johnson stays healthy. They brought in Seth Green, had, you know, Holker retired, but no Foster, no Taysom, at least right at the beginning of the season. I mean, I feel like, and I picked him when we asked earlier, who would have a breakout year. I picked Juwan just because I feel like he's going to have that opportunity in this offense and kind of the way the tight end room is shaken out.
Mike, one of the areas that I'm intrigued to watch during not so much the training camp. I think this will be settled in the preseason games. Man, that defensive line. Okay, all of a sudden, okay, you draft Broughton from Texas. You had, you know, Isaiah Foskey. Who knows what you got with him because we've only seen him really on special teams. They've already signed Jonathan Bullard to the mix. Davin Godshaw, you meant trade. Okay, that's added to the guys that are already there on this football team. Now, we can't tell anything today because, you know, when you're in shells, it's pajamas and slippers out there. You'll see a little bit more of that as the week goes along next week when they're in pads. But, man, that – now, sometimes injuries have this way of making decisions for you. But that is one area that seems to me they have loaded up on, and they were not pleased. When they watched on that film how this team could not stop the run against anyone.
Oh, 100%. And that's the reason Jonathan Bullard's on this football team, right? I mean, that's probably his forte, you know, stopping the run, you know, the new scheme. I mean, to me, it's kind of – what kind of year, if Colin Saunders ends up being, say, a true nose, right, or you get somebody or Godshaw or, you know, that you can build from the middle out, right? Not I felt like this defense has been built from the outside in. Defensive ends to the middle with Shepard and Saunders. But, man, when you see Saunders, to me, just feels like a nose tackle, but you're right. In Brzee as well, you get Brzee and Broughton and Godshaw and Shepard and Ridgeway and Boyd. Yeah, I feel like the impetus was to we got to get better in the middle on defense because they gave up 5 yards a carry, and the middle on offensive line, same thing. Running that, when we say the trenches, that's what we're talking about, right? The middle of both lines. And you can't fight them for who they brought in. They've got a lot of people to put in that middle to stop the run. So how they effectively do it will be the next question.
Yeah, I think that's priority number one. Other than figuring out who your starting quarterback is, that's the 1B on the list after that. Yeah. Michael, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy.
All right, talk to y'all soon.
All righty, Mike Hawes, voice of the New Orleans Saints right here on the Big 870 WWL. When we come back, we'll have with us the first-year coach, head football coach at Nicholls State University, Tommy Rybak, will join us here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, WWL, Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, head football coach at Nicholls State University, Tommy Rybak. Coach, great to have you back on with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you all?
Doing great. Coach, I'm going to ask you what I asked Coach Kellen Moore. He came on with us earlier in the week. And I told him, hey, you know, it's the first time the buck stops with you. When, you know, when you're a position coach and you were with the program for so long under Coach Rebo, you had your group and you were certainly a big part of the success there under Coach Rebo. But now, you know, you're getting it from every angle now. It's just not your group that you work with. You get it from all over, and there are so many different things involved with it. And I know with college coaching, it's got to do a lot sometimes with fundraising, recruiting, everything. So how have you handled that as your first time as a head coach?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head right there. It definitely is a lot going on, from feeding the team to making the itineraries to planning all the meetings and practices. There's a lot that happens, and I'm fortunate that work with some really good people who are able to share some of that workload. But you're right, it's a lot of decisions, but I'm enjoying every second of it.
Coach, you about a month away from cranking the season up. You started off in week zero, and you don't play nobody tough that week. And that Incarnate Word team that everybody's picking to win the Southland. Oh, most people are picking to win the Southland Conference. And I tell people about, people say, oh, about the Southland. I said, you know, it was the first time I saw Cam Ward. I saw him play against you guys.
Yeah,
against Nicholls State.
Right. Yeah.
And now he bounced a little bit. But, man, he was something. I told this to Rebo after the second time y'all played him. Yeah, I don't think you got to worry about playing him a third time, dude. I'm going to be honest with you. I think he's going to a bigger team. But it goes to show that that's going to happen in the Southland. You'll get a guy. I don't know that Sully Lesh or Chase Forcade, you know, in today's world, would have stayed all 4 years at Nicholls. I don't know that particular part of it. But the way they played, they would have been pursued by other people. And same sort of thing happened with Cam Ward. And so you got to take kind of the good and the bad with that, because you'll have people that maybe didn't get a chance to play at an LSU or University of Louisiana Lafayette or, you know, somewhere else. And they come to Nicholls because they want an opportunity to play.
You're exactly right. The model of building a team has definitely changed here recently with all the things going on in college football. I'm with you. I don't know that you'd be able to keep those guys for 4 years like we did. And if you play them early like we did, then everybody's going to know about them. And everybody would love to have Sully Lush after his sophomore year with 20 TFLs and everything that Chase 4K did and Dajon Dixon, all those guys. So it's really important now to have a good team to put on the field and then also to be developing guys within your program so that when those guys do inevitably move on, you have the next guy ready to go. You're going to have to recruit and fill some holes, but you don't want to fill every single one of them every year, you know? So development of your current roster is so important these days.
Coach, I think in Louisiana especially, I can find you a running back and a receiver and some defensive backs. And I remember talking to Coach Rebo about it. He was like, you know, the toughest positions are the big men in the trenches, offensive, defensive linemen. And sometimes you got to take a chance on a guy. You might see him out of school and he's 6'4", and he's, you know, what, 225, 230, and you hoping that you can put that extra weight and muscle on him, and he becomes that 290-pound guy somewhere down the line. But that's still so difficult to get. I think, you know, just because of Louisiana and the southern part of our region, we don't have a ton of big men guys that can play football at a real high level, and that becomes a big challenge for a head coach.
Yeah, they're not easy to get out of the portal, I promise you that. So the ones that can play that are in the portal, they're getting picked up by a group of five teams and even power four teams here every week. So, man, it's important. That's another position on the roster. You got to have numbers. You got to have people you're developing. And you're right. You got to take the 6'5", 240-pound kid coming out of high school and develop them. And, you know, 2 or 3 years, there's no telling – how good he could be for you with a good, consistent routine over the course of a few years.
Coach, we're less than a month away from your opener against Incarnate Word, like Mike had kind of mentioned. That makes me excited because football is right around the corner. I want to ask you, though, about that matchup against UIW. I know that you've been doing your scouting report and kind of preparing for that matchup. They made it to the quarterfinals of the SCS playoffs this past year. They were picked as the preseason favorite in the Southland Conference. I just want to get your preview of the game.
Yeah, what a great opportunity for us, man. We get to open up with the champs of the Southland Conference at home. It's a great challenge for us, but it's something that we're going to be prepared for and ready for, and our guys are going to be excited to be there and play, and they're going to play well in that game. But you talk about Incarnate Word over the last 4 years. Those guys have been making playoff pushes. They've been plays or series away from getting to the national championship game. So credit to them and what they've been able to do with Cam Ward, and even since then, with the quarterbacks that they've had and the way they've been able to play as a team, they've really done a good job representing our conference. But, man, we're excited to have them coming here and playing at home in Gidry Stadium and opening the college football season in America. What a great opportunity for this community in this region.
Coach Rybeck, the one position that is really – it's rare. I got to talk to Ty Simpson, who has had his whole career at Alabama – and he's hardly played, but he stayed there the entire time. I told him, you're the unicorn. Not many guys in this room can say that. Now, Nussmeier can say it, and you know, Arch could say it, but most of the guys in this room, they have went from one school to another, and some of them have went to two schools. So you also have a new starter at the quarterback position. Tell everybody a little bit about him, because he's also taken that trail of a couple schools before he hits Thibodeau.
Yeah, he's been a journeyman for a little bit. Deuce Hogan out of Grapevine Faith in the Dallas area from Texas, originally signed with Iowa. He transferred to Kentucky, where he was Will Levis's backup, played a little bit at Kentucky, and then went to New Mexico State. And when he got there, the coordinator left, you know, shortly after he got there. So they changed offensive schemes from what he signed up for. And he still started some games and had some success there, but was looking for a better fit. And luckily we were able to get him here to Thibodeau. Deuce is an outstanding young man. He represents us well in so many different ways. Very mature, smart. But if anybody saw him throw at Manning Camp, he fits in with a bunch of those guys that were there from other places across the country. He can really throw the football, and he's got a great intellect for the game. So we're excited to get him on the field and give him a chance to showcase what he can do.
Coach, I got to talk to him for a few minutes at Manning Camp, and I told him, hey, I've seen the guys before you. You're the biggest one of the bunch. I mean, you think about Chase and the guys you had after him. They weren't real tall guys. No, he's a big dude. No. Now, you wouldn't pick him out of the crowd that, hey, he plays quarterback. That's not what would be my first choice when I take a look at him.
Yeah, 6'4", man. Helps you out. Helps you a bunch, especially throwing the ball, being able to throw the ball in the middle of the field. You know, helps your protection, gives you some things you can do in that way, man. So we're excited about it.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We'll get you back on right before the start of the season. And I know when you guys start fall drills?
Oh, we are through practice two. And we'll be on practice three tomorrow morning. So we reported on Tuesday, and we started practice on Wednesday, and we're going every day now. It's been great.
Yeah, you hear the clock ticking, tick, 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 because you know the season is right there.
Oh, yeah. It's routine. Man, I love it, though. What a great time of year. It's routine. It's football all day. It's awesome. So we're looking forward to continuing to work these next few weeks and getting closer to that opener.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks so much. Best of luck to you. Stay healthy.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All righty. Coach Tommy Rybeck, first-year coach at Nicholls State University. We'll be back with more sports talk and finish it off here in hour number one right after this break. Finishing it off here in hour number one of sports talk on the Big 870, want to thank the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, for joining us, along with Nicholls State head football coach Tommy Rybeck. We come back a little after 5:20. My old pal Renee Nato from Crescent City Sports. Come on, talk Saints. Tulane, LSU. Hey, we got a lot more sports talk and interview with Deuce and Hoss right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.